Wouldn't it have been a great day? You know, children make us all feel young again and lively again, and so we're just excited about what's going to happen in our ministries in the days ahead. Our parents, I want you to know there's a safe place for you to bring your children, and there will be a safe place for them to learn about Jesus and grow up in the fullness of all that He is in their lives, okay? Today I'm going to be preaching about when prayer changes everything, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer when prayer changes everything. One of the greatest resources I have in my life, and I have a lot of resources, as you have resources in your life, but my greatest resource I have is my prayer life. Whenever I can come to God in my needs, in my celebrations, when I can partner with God, see, when I pray to God, God listens. I have no idea how all that works, but I know it works because He touches my life. There's no greater resource than you have in your prayer life. Learning how to pray. If you only pray when the bullets are flying, you have never learned how to pray yet. Being thankful, being honest with God, it's so important. You know, if I don't know you very well, when I first meet you, we talk about the weather, we talk about our children, we talk about things that really just common. But when I really get to know you, we don't talk about those things. We talk about us while we know each other. And most of us never really know how to talk to God, because you only talk to Him when the bullets are, when you're in trouble. You don't really have that personal, intimate relationship. Now, when I pray, heaven listens. And when I have a passion on my heart, whatever it may be, I'll share some of those with you today. God partners with me. I partner with God. And God goes to work. He hears our prayers. It makes a difference. I was saved because one day as a little boy, I repented of my sins and I asked Christ to come in my heart. And you know how I know that happened? Because He came into my life. He changed my life. He saved me from me. I'd be afraid where Ron Davis would be today without Christ. I know me. See, Christ does so much in our lives. And I want you to learn how to earnestly pray. I would work in the devotion time with Upward. And I would challenge the moms and the dads and the grandpas out there with all their children on the floor. Have they ever heard you pray? They've heard you say bad words. They've seen you fight. They've seen you at your worst. But have they ever heard you pray, Dad? Mom, have they ever heard you pray? Grandparents? And if not, why not? Because prayer is partnered with God. And you want your children to have that partnership. You want your children to know how to talk to God, because God will hear their prayers. And so I want to help you. When the storms of life coming, pray is what we do. But man, prayer is more than just storms. Prayers are the blessings of Christ. It's the fulfillment of Christ. It's the relationship. There's nobody I'd rather talk to in my life than God. We're on a first name basis. I call Him Father. He calls me Ronald. He talks to my heart. He loves me. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is written down in heaven. He wrote it there for me. He knows me. He promised me a place in heaven forever. He did all those things for my relationship. So learning how to partner. If you're 16 years old and you're just having a rough time in life, man, just ask God to help you. If you're a real pretty girl and you're about 17 years of age, you got a date and you get a pimple, just ask God to help you. I mean, when your hair's not doing well, God can make it flow better, okay? I mean, there's so many things God wants to do if you would just get involved. He didn't die on a cross just so we could go to heaven. He died so we could have a personal, intimate relationship with Him and talk to Him daily and get to know Him as He gets to know us. The more we trust God, the more we talk to God. The more we love God, the more we talk to God. Here in the story is in Acts chapter 27, Apostle Paul. He is going to get in a difficult time. Apostle Paul used to be against church. He used to persecute Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He was kind of an honorary guy in town. And God decided just to work in Paul's life. And Paul had a great conversion. Paul's life was touched. He was saved. And his life becomes so real. He began to talk to Jesus, talk to everybody about Jesus, and even the Gentiles. And back in those days, a Jew didn't talk to Gentiles. They were the enemy. But Paul had a mission to talk to the Gentiles. And then the Jews got together and they tried to kill Paul. They were pretty successful in getting Jesus. They watched him kill Jesus on the cross. And now they're coming after Paul. Earlier in this Acts, two different times they tried with a plan how to kill him. They were after him. But Paul was a Roman citizen. And Paul had, he had a Roman citizen, had special rights in Rome that no one else had. They couldn't persecute him in Jerusalem because he was a Roman citizen. And he knew if they did, he would probably die. And so he appealed his case to Rome. And he's on his way to Rome so he can stand in front of a judge there and be rightly judged. Okay? So Paul is in that situation of his life, and he's asking God to work into his life. And I want to share with you exactly how God began to work. In Acts chapter 27, it says, it was determined that he should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners into one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And so there was Paul and many other prisoners. And they were going to go to Rome on a ship. That ship ride could be over 3 weeks to a month long. It was a treacherous ship ride. And so Paul had now appealed his case. They tried to kill him twice. He's on his way. And then when Paul begins to work into his life, God told him in Acts chapter 23, he says, Paul, you've done a good job in Jerusalem. I want you to go to Rome and be a witness for me there. I want you to go. In chapter 23, and here's Paul in chapter 27. He didn't even know how it was going to work, but he's on his way to Rome. God had worked it out. Let me tell you something. God has a plan for my life. If you'd have talked to me 2 years ago about being a First Baptist Church in Brandenburg, I would have said there's no way under the sun. But see, God had a plan for my life. Things in my life were changing. Things were happening. I began to pray, and all of a sudden I get a phone call one night, late at night. This senior man was talking to me about, do I want to come to First Baptist Brandenburg? And I had never heard about First Baptist Brandenburg, but God did. God had heard that. He knew about me. And he just out of nowhere, he began to speak to me about becoming at First Baptist Brandenburg. I've been here a year now. I had no idea. You know why? God's plans are bigger than mine. God's ways are mine. I'm not here by accident. I wasn't looking for a place to preach. I wasn't looking for a church to lead. I was just looking for a safe place. And God's got a sense of humor. He brought me to First Baptist Brandenburg, all right? God's good. God's good. I went to Rome. I got here, okay? But see, God has a plan for my life. And let me share this with you, sir. You know God's got a plan for your life? It's more than going to work 8 hours a day and taking care of the family and feeding the kids and having a little vacation. It's much more than that. It's about walking with God along the way. It's about walking with God with your family. It's about walking with God where you work. It's about walking with God, and he has plans. And so his plans are wonderful. Do you know his plan for your life? Thank you for being here today. This is the Lord's Day. He commanded that we go to church on Sunday. Thank you for honoring that commandment. Your week's going to be better today because you honored him on Sunday. How many believe that? Just say amen. Now, it took your kids to get you here, but I'll take whatever it takes to get you here. Amen. That's the reason we're going to have a children's ministry. When I grew up, my mom and dad took me to church. It don't work that way now. You know who takes parents to church? Kids. By the hundreds. I want to have hundreds of kids. We're going to have hundreds of kids here. That means we're going to have hundreds of parents and grandparents, and you're going to get to see them perform and share their testimony. There's nothing greater than your child stand here and talk in front of this church about what God's doing in their life, one way or another, or just saying they like better. There's nothing greater, because you know what a lot of kids are saying? They know how to cuss. They know how to fight. They know how to do everything in the world. But give them a safe place to learn about a Jesus that loves them too. They sung about it today. They believed it. They really believed it. They get back on their heels. Remember this. When the choir sings, the adults, we got a book. When kids sing, they got it memorized and they sit on their heels and sing. It's amazing. They love it, don't they? And so see, God has a plan. Now Paul's on his way to Rome. God has great plans for Paul. But now as things begin to fall out in this story, I want to read to you in verse 9. If I can get there, it says... It says, now when much time was spent, and there was sailing, for sailing was dangerous because of the fast. The fast they had in their life was Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was a Jewish fast. And Paul says it's past Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur was always at the end of September or the 1st of October. It's not once Yom Kippur comes to a Jew, they don't get on the ocean because the seas are too rough. And Paul says, it's not a good time. Yom Kippur has already passed. We're late. We don't need to take this ship journey today. He says it's dangerous because the fast is now already passed. Paul admonished them and said to them, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be hurt And there'll be much damage not only to the landing of the ship, but also to our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master, the owner of the ship, more than the things which were spoken by Paul. Paul's a prisoner. Paul's God's man, but he's a prisoner on his ship. He's in the bottom of the ship. He's at the belly of the ship. That's where they went. There's 276 people on this ship. This is not a little boat. This is a ship. And they're going out into rough seas, and Paul warns them, you don't want to do that. Because when everything happens, let me tell you something. I don't know where you've ever been in a dangerous place in life, but you don't want to be in the middle of the ocean on a ship in rough water. That has got to be the scariest place in the world, especially when you see the wind blow your sails away. When the wind begins to tear part of the ship away, there's nothing more frightening to be on a body of water on a ship. Paul says, we don't need to go now, but he's just a prisoner. They don't listen to prisoners, and now they're on their way. And then in verse 20, listen to this. It says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken from us. Let me tell you something. When you get to there's no more hope to live, you're not living. When you have no more hope, all their hope was gone. They've come to the conclusion, all are going to die. There's no way out of this. Many days, they've been fasting. They haven't eaten anything. The sails blowed away. They're out in the middle of the ocean. What are they to do? Tough times. You know what I like about Paul? He was a prisoner, but he was God's man. And God's man knows what to do. Hey, say that. God's people know what to do. Shouldn't we know what to do? When you come with a storm of life, there's a God in your heart that will lead you in what to do. He'll lead you to heaven. He'll lead you to Calvary. He'll lead you to the right places. He'll take you out of the hell holes of life. He'll lead you in the right path. Now, Paul says in verse 21, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and know you were loosened from Crete and to gain this storm and loss. Paul said, I told you so, guys. I'm just a prisoner, but I told you so. In verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. To be of good cheer. How in the world can you stand there on a ship going down and this wacko saying, be of good cheer? How can that be? Listen to me. He says, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul says, I may be a captive in this ship, but I serve a great God. And he knows me, and I know him. I'm following God. Saying, fear not. He told Paul, fear not. You know the reason why he told Paul, fear not? Because Paul was afraid. I guarantee you, on the bottom of a ship going down, who wouldn't be afraid? We're not robots. God still gave us a mind when we got saved. Paul's afraid. The angel of God spoke to Paul. And the angel of God spoke to Paul. He says, for those who stood by me this night, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought to Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them and shall with thee. Therefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe, God, that it shall be even as he told me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get this. When you're in a storm of your life, and it's a bad storm, it may be an illness, maybe financial, maybe a relationship, maybe the people you love just left you by yourself. Maybe you've got the diagnosis, there's no way out of it, and your life is broke. You're in a storm. Let me tell you something. I want you to get this. God says to Paul, Paul, you're going to be okay. Be of good cheer. No one's going to die. The ship's going to be tore up, but no one's going to die. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, I'm going through a storm. And I ask God to help me. He don't take the storm away from me, but he tells me I'll be okay in the storm. He says, I'm still with you in this storm. I'm on this boat with you, Paul. You're a believer. There's 276 heathens here, and I want them to believe too. And so while you're in this storm, tell them, be of good cheer, because you're going to go through a storm. It's going to be like you're never going to get out of it. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to bring you, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. First Baptist Church of Brandenburg, you've been through a storm. Remember when your church went completely away and your people died and it seemed like, how in the world are we going to make it? We don't have a building. We're scattered. We're not having it. And God's man stands up on Sunday in the pulpit and says, be of good cheer. We're going to make this. We're still here. The wind's blowing. The rough is there. But my God holds the seas in His hand. My God knows my name. My God will take care of me. Be of good cheer. It's hard, but we win. We want to be good Christians where we're sitting on a sofa, somebody feeding you something. The Bible says, deny yourself, take up a cross, get in the bottom of a ship, and tell somebody about Jesus. That's what the deal is. Just be of good cheer. We're still here. Back when your church was tore up, how many of you didn't know where you'd be? But you're still here. Paul says, hey, be of good cheer, guys. Now, the Bible says the angel of the Lord spoke to Paul that night and said, Paul, don't worry about this, man. Be of good cheer. You tell these people good cheer. Now, the question is, how do we hear from God? How does God speak to us? In that era, an angel came and talked to Paul. That's the reference. But in our era, let me help you with this. You know God speaks to us? Number one, He speaks to us through the Bible. Let me tell you something. I'm reading you about a storm, and I'm reading you what God did in the storm, and I'm reading what God wants to do in your life and your storm. The number one way God speaks to us, read your Bible. If you would read your Bible every day, ladies and gentlemen, your life would change. Because God speaks to you. He speaks to you loud and clear through the Word of God. And the reason why there's such an ignorance, the reason why there's such a fear, and the reason why we're such bitter and fighting and bellyache and everything, because we haven't read the book, we win. Number two, God speaks to us through people. He speaks to us through the Word of God, and He speaks to us through the people of God, the church. There's been many times in my life, where I didn't know where it's going to happen, what's going to happen. And God would just walk up to me and just say, somebody sit and just speak to me, and it would just gel. This time in Brandenburg, it was Stuart Pepper. I know he's an older gentleman. I didn't know how old he was. But he called me late at night. I was sitting in my fat clothes, sitting on a chair, ready to go to bed. And Stuart Pepper called me, and God used Stuart Pepper to talk to me. He talked to me just like he's audibly. He said, Ron, have you thought about it? Would you mind? I said, I never thought about that. But see, God speaks through the Word. God speaks through people. And He speaks through prayer. Just go ahead and start talking to God. I mean, talk to God like you really know Him. And He'll speak to you again. He'll speak to you through the Word. He'll speak to you through the Bible. He'll speak to you through circumstances. When a tornado comes, it's amazing how God speaks to us. Amen? You know, on 9/11, I'll never forget this. When I seen 9/11, and America was probably in its lowest times and maybe ever on our shores. And all of our congressmen, Republicans and Democrats, get on the House steps and they pray. They want the whole world to see Congress and all the people in America praying. Exactly the right thing to do. But here's my problem. They walk back into Congress and 2 days later try to stop prayer at school. I can't figure all that out. When the storms are coming, let's pray. There's no storms. We don't want to talk about it. Separate church state. It's a separation. We can't do that. But let the storm come and blow your house down, and you'll want to pray. You know why? Because God hears our prayers, and God is real. In James 5, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervor there is consistent. The fervent prayer of a righteous man will avail much. Man, when you talk to God, He'll listen. When you talk to God on the bottom of a ship, He'll give you good words to say. Who in the world could come up with the bottom of a ship and say, be of good cheer? Only God could put those words in His mouth. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me tell you something. If you got a wayward child, if you got a broken marriage, if you got cancer in your house, I want to share this with you. When you can learn to talk to God, you'll feel there'll be of good cheer because my God is bigger than your problem. You can't have a miracle without a problem. You can't sing victory in Jesus without a fight. And God wants to help us to be of good cheer. I don't know where you are, but God wants to do that. You know when Jesus was going to be taken away to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know what He did? He prayed. Now, if God has to pray, how much more do you and I have to pray? The God that holds His whole world in His hand was talking to His Father. when Jesus in the toughest time, here's what he prayed, God, may thy will be done and not mine. And that was Jesus. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have walked out. Nobody made him get on that cross. The Jewish government didn't get him on a cross. The Roman didn't get him on a cross. He went to that cross on his own because God heard his prayers and he took the cross for you and I. So Jesus prayed in the storms. I mean, pray for all the things in my life. You know, storms are there to just perfect us. James says, count it a joy when you go through these trials and tribulations of our life. I got a phone call this morning. My daughter, 15 months of chemo treatment. She had a double mastectomy. She had reconstruction surgery last week. She's about to finish up. She's so happy. We're so happy. We're so happy. When my daughter came down with this, our family met. I said, I'm not going to mope. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to bellyache. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And my daughter says, it's good, Dad. It's so good. Be of good cheer. We're still here. Be of good cheer. It's not over. The devil's a liar. The devil's a thief. He'll destroy you. He'll get you to be angry. He'll get you to be afraid. He'll get you to be running. Man, just run toward Jesus. If you could just pray and partner with God, we're still here. We're making it today. Today I'm going to sit in her house and we're going to sit down and we're going to cry. We're going to pray together. We're still there. I shouldn't say this, but I am. I'm going to tell you this. You never heard nothing like this before in a Baptist church. But Jennifer called me up, her little granddaughter, her little daughter from China. And I said, Jennifer, I hear Mama's doing real good. She said, yeah, Mama's having a good day. I said, why is Mama having a good day? She's getting her boobies back today. Have good cheer. She got them back. Amen. Good cheer. This is what God does. And Jennifer knew that God did that because her mom had prayed to her every night about God taking care of them. So Jennifer knew that God took care of that. Be of good cheer. Do you understand that? So see, when it all comes apart, the greatest thing you have, and dads, if your children haven't heard you pray, you don't have to be a great prayer. Just take him by the hand and just say, God, I want you to help my little boy. Call his name. And that'll mean more to that little boy than a $100 bill. Because when you touch that son or that daughter with God in your hand, it touches what heaven can't, or what hell can't take away. Why not do that? You don't know how? If you've been born again, you know how. You had to pray to get saved. You didn't get saved just by saying, God, here I am. God, I realize I'm lost. I want you to forgive me. I want you to come to my heart. I want you to save me. I don't care if you're Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian. I don't care. Just be a child of God. And remember this. When the storms are raging and it doesn't seem a way, God always has a way. We're still here. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. Now, Apostle Paul and his ship, they're going to tell them, you know, they're going to jump ship in the story. Let me just fast forward. They're going to jump ship. And Paul said, don't jump ship. You guys won't make it. It's too far out. Just hang in here with me. We're going to get on here. We're going to get there together. You know what they all said? We're going to listen to Paul. When this story started out, he was a captive. When he landed, he was the captain of the ship. 276 men were praising God because there was a God man on that ship. 276 men's lives were saved because somebody prayed to God to save them. 276 men were saved because God had a plan for Paul to get to Rome and they were part of the plan. See, Paul didn't have to wait to get to Rome to be a witness. He was a witness on the way to Rome. Amen? Those prisoners on that ship, they were now saved prisoners. Amen? So where are you at in life? Is this God thing real to you? Are you really part of what God's doing? Are you really connected? Do you really pray? Do you really love to read the Bible? You love to talk to God's people? I love to talk to everybody, man. I just love this. Man, there's in jail the other day, I met a gal. She was fighting, man. I'm ready to rumble. I just said, ma'am, just relax. Somebody loves you. She says, nobody in this place does. I said, well, I'll try to if you give me a minute. Just give me a minute. And begin to talk to her. You know what I told her? I've been studying this message. I want you to have some cheer here. You're going to be okay. This ain't the end of life. is at the end of your day, there's a God who's got a plan. He can take you out of this, make a Mother Teresa out of you, if you let Him. Amen? So I want you to get this. I want you to know that you're still here. And I want you to know that God has a plan for you to do great things while you're here. I want you to be connected to a church. I want you to show up every once in a while. I want you to love your church. I want you to participate in your church. And I want you to protect your church. You don't say anything bad about anybody's church. Say, let's don't say anything bad about anybody's church, right? We don't communicate anything bad about anybody's church. You know why? This is His bride. And you need to respect that. And some of you have not learned how to do that yet. First thing happens, you want to go public and tell everybody how bad something is. Stop it. It's God's house. We're God's people, and we're still here. Loving your church will change your life and the people's lives around you. Going to church doesn't do much, but you love it, you'll serve it, and it'll change who you are. So I want to tell you something. Aren't you glad we're still here? Aren't you glad that Paul had a good cheer in him? So when the storms come, you be of good cheer. Because God has a way of bringing good out of it. Amen? I just asked Steve about Sherry. She had a big test this week for her cancer. She'd been fighting for a long time. He just jumped up and grabbed my hand and said, boy, isn't God good? He's had good cheer. He's sitting there right next to a wife with cancer with good cheer. You know why? We're still here. God's working it out. Do you know how to pray? Do you know how to partner? If you're here, never been born again, I'd like for you to come forward today. It will teach you how to be saved. You can't get saved, you realize you're lost. If you ever met the President of the United States, you'd never forget it. If you ever met God, you wouldn't forget it. If you don't remember it, you need to get saved. Let Him in your heart. Man, I tell you what, when this big old Eric, when he came and met Jesus last week, man, I was trying to figure out how I'm going to baptize that sucker. I mean, I'm going to have to kick his legs out from under here, hold him down, throw him up. We're going to get it done. I love people who get saved when they're kids. They're a lot lighter, and they got a whole life to live. Amen? But we're going to do that. You know why? God spoke to him. That's the only reason why. And I learned this. His family's been praying for him. His wife's family been praying for him. And today's a Christian of good cheer. His son's saved of good cheer. How about your family? What's happening in it? I know you got problems, but you be of good cheer. We're still here. Let's stand up. As we sing this invitation, you know the reason why Jesus asked us to come publicly? Because when Jesus walked on this earth and he met his disciples, he said, guys, come on out here. Let's take a stand. Walk with me. We don't need secret Christians. So the Holy Spirit, God asks you to be part of your life, and you'd like to have Jesus in your heart. Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. It's the safest place in the world to find God. He's right here with you. Amen? So if you've never been saved, you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you come today? Let's ask God to come into our lives and our hearts. Let's ask Him to change it. And let's ask Him to give us some cheer in the middle of our storm. Because my God answers prayers. And your God does too. Amen? So as we sing this invitation, if you're confused, if you're broken, and you don't have any relationships, and you don't trust anybody, I'm going to ask you something. Just trust Jesus today. He'll never, never let you down. Trust Jesus today. He died for you, sir. As we sing, you come.